I'm excited this morning. The Lord has just been really speaking some things to me, and I always wonder, Lord, how can I get this into the hearts of your people? Because I love just what you do in me as you are teaching me and leading me and moving by the Spirit. And the Lord is just really working a great work, and Pastor Kerry had a great word last week, and just kind of spurred me on, you know, to those who love the Lord are known by God. They are known by Him. And the heavens know them, and the deepest, darkest hell knows them. Because they are lovers of God. And I love that so much, and I'm so thankful for what God has been doing by His Spirit. And Valerie was just talking about the Spirit today. And I want to talk about, you know, a lot of us, we love comeback stories, you know, stories of a comeback, you know, and underdogs, you know, breaking through, and we all love those comeback stories. And I think that there's something in the Spirit about that. And I believe that we have been given a comeback spirit, and that we can live in this comeback spirit. And that's the title of my message today, is Living in a Comeback Spirit. And when I was just thinking about comebacks, and I know you are not all football fans, but I was a big football fan for a while, and I grew up in New York, so I was a Giants fan. I know, I was waiting for the boos. Boo. Yeah. So I grew up. So I put in my time. The Giants were horrible for many, many years. And I definitely, I missed it. Cowboy fan? Oh, okay. Amen. You know exactly what I was going through. Okay. So I put in my time through many years of frustration. But in 2008, they had an okay season, not as good as the New England Patriots, who were going undefeated and ended up the Patriots in the Super Bowl against the 7-9 Giants. No, they weren't quite that bad record, but it wasn't a record like them. And so the Giants, through miracle of miracle, get to the Super Bowl, which was amazing. Well, everybody was predicting there is no way that the Giants can win. And that, you know, these undefeated Patriots will have this glorious season, and, you know, their offense was just incredible. They put up all these points in all their games, and so, you know, they'll outscore them just amazingly, and there is really no hope for the Giants. Okay, so I was still rooting for the Giants. Well, really wasn't a high-scoring game. And in fact, at the end, it was still in the teens, and Giants were losing. And it was probably the last drive of the game. And I think it was third and five. And Eli Manning goes back and is about to be sacked by the line. And he gets out, and he just throws it down the field in about triple coverage. And this one Giant, David Tyree, he jumps up, incredible jump, grabs the ball, and pins it on his head. he grabs it, and he holds it on his head, and he falls down, and he's holding it on his head. And it's just an amazing catch. And I was thinking, and I remember I wasn't feeling all that well that day, and I was kind of just setting myself up for the Giants losing the Super Bowl, and so I was just kind of in bed. And I see this catch, and I'm like, the sheets are like, whoosh. I'm like, ah! You know, I'm just jumping out of bed. I'm like, oh my word, that's amazing! And I just couldn't believe it. It was incredible. And the next play, then Eli Manning goes back again, throws it down into the end zone to Plaxico Burress. I don't know if anybody heard of that. Plaxico Burress, and they win the Super Bowl against the undefeated Patriots. I lived all those years believing to get to that day. But it was an incredible comeback, and I was just like, oh, that was so great, God. Oh, that was so much fun. And, you know, I think that we all really love those comeback stories. But there's so many. I mean, there's sports comebacks, and but there's just life comebacks that we see when someone has gone through just such devastating, horrible circumstances, and then they seem to just blossom out of it. And they go out of it, and then they just become this beautiful flower of a life. And you're thinking, wow, that is amazing. And in fact, that you look at them and you would never suspect they had gone through such horrible circumstances. And I see that, and I see the beauty for ashes that God so delights in, how he works those things. And I enjoy that so much. And in Scripture, we see it just repeatedly, these incredible comeback stories. And I want to talk about one of these comeback stories. Yeah. And obviously, the greatest comeback story is Jesus Christ. We are so thankful for his resurrection from the dead. And not only that he rose from the dead for himself, but he rose from the dead for us all. Yeah. That he is the first fruits of our resurrection. And that we now have the same spirit that rose Jesus from the dead, living on the inside of us, enlivening and quickening our mortal bodies, resurrecting our mortal bodies today. Amen. Woo! Thank you, God, for that promise. And we walk in that by faith. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, for it. But I want to look at this one passage. I'm going to look at this passage by Paul in Philippians. So if you turn to Philippians 1, it's such a great passage. And this is one of the prison epistles. And we can't read these letters without remembering where Paul is writing them from. He's writing them from a Rome prison. And in fact, I was just going again through what prison was like in Rome and came across this. John McCrae writes this in Christian History. He says, Roman imprisonment was preceded by being stripped naked and then flogged, a humiliating, painful, and bloody ordeal. The bleeding wounds went untreated as prisoners sat in painful leg or wrist chains. Mutilated, blood-stained clothing was not even replaced, even in the cold of winter. Most cells, prison cells, were dark, especially the inner cells of a prison, like the one Paul and Silas inhabited in Philippi. Unbearable cold, lack of water, cramped quarters, and sickening stench from few toilets made sleeping difficult and waking hours miserable. Because of the miserable conditions, many prisoners begged for a speedy death. Others simply committed suicide. And in places like this is where Paul would write four incredible letters: Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon. That he would write those four letters in jail. And if you look at the tone of those letters, it is amazing. And it's not one of drudgery and oh, woe is me. In fact, it is a joyous and a celebration. And in fact, looking at verse 12, Paul tells the Philippians, and actually in Philippi is where Paul was first thrown in jail and where Paul and Silas did sing their way out of jail. Yes. It says in verse 12, now I want you to know, brethren, that my circumstances have turned out for the greater progress of the gospel, that so that my imprisonment in the cause of Christ has become well known throughout the whole Praetorian Guard and to everyone else. It's a special soldier group that actually would watch special prisoners. And that most of the brethren trusting in the Lord because of my imprisonment have far more courage to speak the word of God without fear. Some, to be sure, are preaching Christ even from envy and strife, but some from goodwill. But then he says, I don't even care. As long as Christ is preached, I rejoice. I'm excited about it. And then he goes on to say in verse 19, for I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayers and the provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and hope, that I will not be put to shame in anything, but that with all boldness, Christ will even now, as always, be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. So, and then he kind of goes back and forth, you know, if I die, it's fine. And in fact, that's a greater thing for me, but I probably need to live for your sake, because there's things that God wants me to do. So I have this, convinced of this, verse 25, I know that I will remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy in the faith. It's like he's capitulating. He's like saying, well, I know that I'm going to have to stay. I know that I'm going to have to be here for your progress and joy in the faith, so that your proud confidence in me may abound in Christ Jesus through my coming to you again. Only conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come, and in fact, the construction of only conduct yourselves in a manner worthy, the words are usually are citizen. It's like a becoming a citizen. Conduct yourself in a manner of the citizenship that you have. And so he says even later in chapter 3, verse 20, that your citizenship is in heaven. You're a citizen of the heavenly places. And so consider that citizenship that you have and live according to that citizenship. Yeah. Don't live according to the citizenship that you have here, but the greater citizenship that you will live for eternity, that you have actually entered in right now, even on the earth. So walk in a manner worthy of that citizenship, so that whether I come and see you or remain absent, or whether I'm there or not, I will hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, in no way alarmed by your opponents, which is a sign of destruction for them, but of a sign for you, but a sign of salvation for you, and that too from God. For to you it has been granted for Christ's sake, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake, to live as Christ lived, experiencing the same struggle, conflict, which you saw in me, and now here to be in me. But I want to point out in this verse 28, I love this verse. And Pastor Kerry quotes this verse a lot. It's such a great verse, and I know that he quotes it in the King James, that when we walk, and the point is the beginning of this verse, it says, in no way alarmed by your opponents. The word is fear or frightened. In no way being terrorized or frightened by your opponents. And he says, when you walk in that way of not being frightened by your opponents in any way, that is a sign to them of their destruction. And the King James says, it is an evident token to your enemies of a sign of perdition, and which means destruction. In fact, the word is apalia. And in fact, a word of the name of the devil is destruction, is the destroyer. Yeah. Apollyon. And so he's saying that when you stand without fear, that you are a sign that the enemy is defeated. Ooh. Whoa. All right. So this is good. So this is what Paul is saying. I want you to stand in that place continually. Ooh. Good. I want you to take on that citizenship that I've purchased on your behalf, that you don't have to live in fear. You don't live in terror and anxiety. You live in a place of God comes to my rescue, salvation, soteria, that he comes and he makes a way, that I am a part of a greater kingdom, that greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world, that this is who I stand in, so I can stand without fear. Whew, that is good. And so if you think about Paul's life, isn't that how he stood? So he is beaten, stoned, thrown out of the city, left for dead. His compatriots are standing around him. He gets up and he goes back in the city. Does that sound like a frightened man to you? No! He learned to walk in a place of being full of confidence and belief. And in fact, I believe that it's the spirit of this comeback that was in Paul that says, to me, to live is gain, but to die is Christ.
Yes.
I don't care either way because I win both ways.
That's right.
I am not trying to save my own life. Jesus already saved my life. I am saved. That I have that place now, eternally, forever secure in Him, as I am in Christ. And so as I stand in that place, then I don't have to be afraid. I have no fear, and I don't have to own my own life. Paul says it's really up to Christ how He wants to deal with my life. So I lay my life before Christ, and He does as He will. Ooh, that's good. And that's the key. And in fact, the verse before it, he says, here are some keys that help you stand firm in that place. Stand firm in one spirit, in one mind, and striving together. So you are standing by the Spirit. You are standing together, and you contend together. You contend with one another. And that I believe I see this so clearly in the life of Peter.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I want to talk about this comeback of Peter. So let's go back to Luke 22, and it's the night before, or it's the night Jesus is betrayed. Luke 22. And we know Peter, sometimes he can kind of be impetuous and just jump out and do things. And I think that's what's so good about Peter, because we can identify with Peter in a lot of ways.
Yes.
Because Peter sometimes did things without thinking, maybe, or being in the Spirit, and he just did them.
Yeah.
And in fact, there was this spirit in Peter that I know better, wasn't there? Don't you see that a lot of times in Peter? I see that in Peter that, oh, well, I know better. Jesus, no, you know, I know you're Lord. I know you spoke and the worlds were created, but hey, I know better. Don't we? We do that. We do that in our lives. We sometimes, we know, well, God, I know you said, but basically we're saying I know better. So we pick it up. You know, the night Jesus was betrayed, and you know, they have the Last Supper, and the dispute arises again. This is not something that was like the first time that ever happened. It continues to happen, that this dispute of who was the greatest rises up, right? And so Jesus is working through that with the disciples. You know, he says, I am one. He finishes up verse 27, but I am one among you who is one who serves. Who are those who have stood by me in my trials? And just as my Father has granted me a kingdom, I grant you that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and you will sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Isn't this so great? They're having this discussion about how the greatness, the definition of greatness, who is the greatest? And Jesus is saying, I give you everything. I've given you all of these things. You're going to sit on thrones. You're going to judge the 12 tribes of Israel. How much more do you want? I mean, that's my tone. Sorry. I'm sure that Jesus didn't have that tone. Watch your tone. Jesus didn't have that tone. He might have he had a great tone, I'm sure. But look at what he says to Simon, because why did he pick out Simon? I thought they were all having the discussion, because Simon was adding extra oomph to this whole argument, and he had said some other things here. You know, and so it says, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has demanded permission to sift you like wheat. Woo! So that's a discerning of spirits. Jesus, not because he is God and knows all things, but Jesus as a man through the Holy Spirit and the discerning of spirits knows that Satan is wanting to sift Peter like wheat. This is good. And in fact, the word for demanded permission is actually asked and obtained permission.
Yeah.
To sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you. Wait a second. It doesn't even say, but I have rebuked Satan. I have canceled the assignments of Satan against your life, and you will not have to worry about that. He doesn't say this, right? Where does Jesus go? He says, but I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. It will not cease, is the word. It will not desist. It will not die out. And you, when once you have turned again, strengthen your brothers.
Good.
The turned again is actually not the word for repentance. It's actually the word for come again, which come back, return.
Yeah.
So it is really, when you come back to me, when you're really listening into what I'm saying to you, I want you to strengthen your brothers. When you come back into everything that I have prayed for you to come back into, you're going to strengthen your brothers. And in fact, he says, I've prayed for you. I've prayed for you. So he's saying, oh man, this is so beautiful, right? Because we know in Romans, Paul says that Jesus is living, ever living to make intercession for us. And the writer of Hebrews in 7:24 says that Jesus has done this. He's continuing to do this. And Valerie even points it out this morning. I didn't even tell her this point in my message. She says this morning that this is what Jesus does. He is doing this. And in fact, the Holy Spirit even helps us gain or come into what Jesus is praying so that we are joining into Jesus' prayers. And in fact, the word for praying, that the petition that Jesus is making, this intercession, means petition, but also is literally hitting the bullseye.
Yes. Yeah.
Which you even said this morning. Yeah. That he hits the bullseye with his prayer towards us. So Jesus is praying the perfect will of God on Peter's behalf, and then he prophesies, and he says, and when you come back, Peter, you are going to bless the socks off of your brothers.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
This is what he's saying. And Peter really is not catching all this amazing reality just yet. And he says, Lord, I'm ready to go with you to death. And I will. And he says, but I say to you, Peter, you know, when the rooster crows, you know, you will deny me three times. You will have denied me three times. He said, you know, there's no way that I would ever, you know, do such a thing. Why wouldn't Jesus just keep him from going through this? Isn't this an interesting interplay?
Yeah.
Why, Jesus, why? Why not just keep us from that sifting?
Yeah, right.
Satan has asked to sift you like wheat. Does he ask that about us? I believe that the enemy asks this of us all the time, pretty regularly, where the enemy is asking to sift us like wheat. Now, obviously, Jesus says, you know, I've prayed for you. Now, certainly, he can rebuke the enemy. But why would God allow sifting? You already know it. You guys are already there, right? Isn't he allowing sifting because he knows what the greater reality is coming? For these momentary light afflictions are nothing in comparison to the weight of glory that awaits us if we just continue to walk in the Spirit of God. And that's why Jesus doesn't say, oh no, I've rebuked Satan, and so you don't have to worry about a thing, Peter. You know, you can just stay in that spirit of I know better, and it's never confronted, and you can just keep walking out and being the leader of the church in that spirit. No, right? That actually had to be addressed. There was something in Peter that needed to be broken.
Yes. Right.
And that through this, it was broken.
Yeah.
It was broken, and Jesus restores and he says, feed my lambs. And then Peter goes on. He goes on to strengthen himself with his brothers, that they all betrayed Jesus, right? All the betrayers got together. But they still trusted in what Jesus had desired, what he wanted.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so they got together. they didn't just commiserate together, but they began to believe together. That they began to meet, and they met Jesus, resurrected Christ, together. And Jesus was like, wait till you receive power from on high. Wait to receive my Spirit. Don't leave this place until you receive what you need to be my witnesses in the earth. And that when he comes, he will reveal everything that you need to walk in. And so remember that you need to wait until you receive this power, the promise of the Holy Spirit. And that Peter then, on the day of Pentecost, what happens? It says that on that day, that the place that they were praying and being in one accord together with, it began to shake, and that the wind was blowing and tongues of fire came down on all of them. Awesome. They began to all speak in tongues, and they're proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ, and that all of the different languages that were gathered in that time, that they all began to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ being preached. And they were amazed at what was happening. And that's, but some were saying, oh, these men are just drunk. And so the denier stands up, begins to speak. He begins to speak through the spirit of redemption, the spirit of comeback, the spirit of pushing back darkness. Peter begins to stand up and he begins to speak. This is what has been prophesied to you. This is what the prophet Joel had been saying, that your sons and your daughters will prophesy. That he began to release these words over the people, and they were just blown away. What do you think was happening to the disciples when they see Peter stand up and begin to preach? Don't you think strength? I feel it when I see and I think of Peter standing up and standing for the things of God. And what does it say happens on that day? It say at the consummation of that day, it said that 3,000 people accepted Christ on that day. What happens the next day? Well, the next day, Peter and John, they go to the temple, and they see a lame man, right? A lame man. And Peter sees him, and the guy's like, would you please give me money? And Peter's like, well, money, silver, and gold, I don't have any of that. But what I have, I give you. Yes. Rise up, and he grabs right? He grabs him. He's almost, to me, I always feel like him jerking him up. That just kind of sounds like Peter to me. Boom, you know. Rise up, you know, and he gets up and, you know, and he starts jumping, woo, and he just starts praising God.
Yeah, it was so good.
Okay, so everybody sees this because it was Solomon's colonnade. It was in his porch right before the temple, and there's all kinds of people there, and they're like, oh my gosh, this is that guy that was lame.
Yeah, yeah.
That was lame like forever, and it says, scripture says 40 years. Yeah. He was lame for 40 years. And they all just are amazed at what's happened. And it says that Peter then does what? He starts preaching. He starts preaching. It's not us. It's Jesus Christ who healed this lame man before you. And you need to give yourself to him. The times of refreshing may come in the presence of the Lord. That you come and you ask for his salvation, for what he has done. And so Peter's getting up and he's boldly proclaiming what God has done again. Woo! So the brothers are like, oh man, brothers and sisters are all like, this is awesome, you know, encouraging. This is a great answer to Jesus' prayer, right? Woo! So what happens? It says that the Sanhedrin gets word of this, the rulers, the religious rulers of the day, they get word of this, and then they come and they lay hold of him.
Yes.
But as a parenthetical, while they're laying hold of him, and this is chapter 4, as a parenthetical, oh yeah, and there were 5,000 people saved that day.
That's right.
5,000.
So
5,000. It says 5,000 men.
Yeah.
So what about everybody else that got saved too? Yeah, okay. So we see that was just the beginning. So this is what's happening from the mouth of the denier.
Yeah. So good.
That had been redeemed and filled with God's Spirit. Whew, talk about a comeback, right?
Yes.
But it only gets better. Sorry, I get really excited about the Word of God. Who knows where I am in these notes? I just get so excited about these realities that God has given to us. And so let's go into Acts chapter 4. And so there's these three things that I wanted you to stand in that Paul was saying in the verse in Philippians 1:27. You know, stand in the Spirit. And that's what Jesus gave to Peter so that he would not just stand in his own right and his own thoughts and his I know better idea, but he would stand in the Spirit. And that by the Spirit that Peter would stand up and he would speak. And that we see in Acts chapter 4, just a continuation of this. So he's taken and put, not only Peter, but John. Peter and John are taken and put on trial before the Sanhedrin. The same Sanhedrin that 50 days earlier was putting Jesus on trial and making him be crucified. Convicting him of declaring himself as the Son of God. So it says that in Acts chapter 4, so they are basically arrested, but it's arrested with the Jewish Sanhedrin. And so it says in verse chapter 6, it says, and Annas, the high priest, was there, and Caiaphas, and John, and Alexander, and all who were high priestly descent. When they had placed them in the center, they began to inquire, by what power or in what name have you done this, right? Then Peter, let's all read together. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit. Then Peter,
filled with the Holy Spirit.
Then Peter, okay, so we get it. So what was the defining characteristic of Peter that day?
Filled with the Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit. Yeah. Okay, so the defining characteristic of Peter was not Peter the impetuous one.
No.
The defining characteristic of Peter was being filled with the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
Yes. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of the people, if we are on trial today for a benefit done to a sick man, as to how this man had been made well, let it be known to all of you and all people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, whom you crucified. Does that sound like a man who is afraid?
No.
Wait, was this the same man that was denying Jesus in the temple? This is the same man who's back in the temple. What is he doing now? He's glorifying God.
Yes.
What was the difference? Filled with the Holy Spirit. Okay, so you guys got it. You got it. Let it be known to all of you that by all people, you know, that this is the man, that God raised him from the dead. By this name, this man stands here before you in good health. And in verse 14, now as they observed the confidence of Peter and John and understood that they were uneducated and untrained men, they were amazed. And they began to recognize them as having been with Jesus. Why? Why? Because they were the same spirit. They were of the same spirit. The same language of heaven. The same citizenship. That he chose to, I'm going to stay in the citizenship of heaven. And I'm going to speak from that place. And that's what's going to be what people are going to know. Not just me and what I believe and what I want, but what Jesus wants, what Jesus says, and that I give myself to him by the Spirit. What we need most, I'm sure you guys have heard this before, what we truly need most is the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Truly, truly, we cannot do, Pastor Kerry talks about this so often, he says we cannot love God without God. We need to know and we need to have the ability, and the ability is in the Spirit. And in fact, God is saying, the Scripture tells us, in Corinthians, he says, you know, you don't have the thoughts of God. You don't know the thoughts of God. No one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. So God gave us the Spirit. I want you to know my thoughts, so I'm going to give you my Spirit. And so as you receive the Spirit of God, then you receive the things that I want you to have and to walk in. And so we thank you, Lord God, that you've given us of your Spirit to walk in the things of your Spirit. and that your Spirit causes us just to have this contending, coming back. You know, we may be out, but we're not down. Man, I just love that whole spirit. I think that is a Spirit of God thing.
Yes, yes.
That comeback kid.
Yeah.
In all of us.
Yes.
That same spirit. Oh, I'm so excited about that. I just love that. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Holy Spirit.
Yes.
That's who you are. It's how you work in us.
Yes.
I see that there's pictures that I have in my head, and I want to share them today. Whew, man. One of these pictures is... You know, and Paul is talking about how connected we have to be to one another and in the Spirit. Like, they go hand in hand. It's really, Paul is saying this. That, I mean, you can be filled with the Spirit kind of all out on your own up in the wilderness, but that's not really what we see in the New Testament. That we need to be connected to one another. And in fact, that's a big part of us being filled.
Yes.
Is our connection one to another.
Yes.
And in fact... This just leads me to that first point. We stand firm in one spirit.
Yes.
That my wife had gone through, just had a battle against ovarian cancer. And just walked through that battle and won. And God was great. And it was amazing. And I have my beautiful sister, wife, blessing. But this person that is filled with the Holy Spirit... is still sitting here in my life that I depend on, that I need, that blesses me, that helps with God's continual filling, right? We've been baptized by the Spirit. So if you haven't been baptized by the Spirit, ask to be baptized by the Spirit. God wants to do it, and just He will do it, okay? And He wants to just dunk you. Baptizing in the Spirit just means that, you know, if I went over there, and that actually this is a gross metaphor, but if I went over and I took a cup and I drank it, that's one way, right? That's having the Spirit. That's having the water. But if I went over in there, dove in there, which I really should do just to scare you all. I'm really almost tempted, but I won't because I have this mic on, which costs a lot of money, and Pastor Carey wouldn't be happy about that. I wouldn't be happy about that either. The elders wouldn't be happy. Anyway, but you see the difference. There's a difference. I drink. Well, yeah, that's great. I have the Spirit. But when I immerse myself, when I dunk myself, when I'm wet with the Spirit, that is being filled. That is being just water wet. You are baptized in the Spirit, okay? He's affected every part of your life. You've yielded completely yourself to Him. Okay, so you got it. but this wonderful woman of God that God has given to me, of this Spirit-filled lady, she walked through this thing, and I just got to saw the whole process and what God was doing and how God was speaking and how God was giving her strength, and the Spirit was just teaching her and leading her and all these different things. It was so beautiful. It was amazing. And... She kept coming to church, and we had nights of ministry. Valerie was doing nights of ministry. Here she has lost all her hair. All of her hair is gone, going through chemo, and she's here on night of ministry prophesying. Man, it's awesome. Okay, so she's over here one night of ministry without her hair, which I thought she was beautiful without her hair. She has a beautiful head, and I was... In fact, she was wearing the cloth, and I said, "Honey, you don't have to hide that. It's a beautiful head." I said, "I have an ugly head. I look like a baboon when I don't have hair, but you look beautiful." She does really have just a beautiful head. And
amen. Wow.
And she was over there with her beautiful head and all, and she started prophesying over Leah. And she was prophesying, just even a spirit of Gideon, that God was going to do things and bring her to a whole new level, or just a spirit of overcoming, and the spirit of Gideon. And she's prophesying that over Leah.
Yeah.
Man, I was sitting down over here, and I was filled with the Spirit because of what was happening over there. I mean, I've been baptized by the Spirit. I've been filled with the Spirit. I was filled with the Spirit.
Yeah.
As that was happening.
Yeah.
And I got up. And I went over and prophesied to Valerie.
Yeah.
Because there was so much happening within me, but it was the Spirit doing what He does in another person that actually filled me with the Spirit. Isn't that a cool reality? Isn't that what's happening with Peter? That Peter is standing up and he is declaring these things by the Spirit. Everybody else is getting filled with the Spirit. 3,000, 5,000. And daily were added the number who were being saved. Just because of what was happening. Oh, let me get to that too. Because that is, well, okay. So, we need that in our lives. So, get it if you don't have it. Be it if you aren't it. Ooh, wow, how does that work? Okay, you grow in your relationship with the Holy Spirit. I'm so thankful that God has brought people into my life to help me grow in the things of God's Spirit. This is a uniqueness of this house. I'm thankful I have Pastor Carrie. I know all of you don't have Pastor Carrie. I mean, you do. We get to hear all kinds of things. I get to go into a next level. I'm thankful. I get to go into his office when I'm churning things. And I get to hear from him. I have my wife, who I talk to every day, who we walk through by the Spirit, who we pray together, who we chew on the word together, we grab hold of spiritual reality together. Oh my gosh, everyone needs that. All of us need that. And if you're single, find someone, because you need it. No, I'm serious. But I'm not saying you have to be in a couple relationship. I'm not saying that. I'm saying a friendship. I'm saying you just need someone that you can be that with. That you can push or you can encourage in the things of the Spirit. Then you receive that back from this person. Man, it's such a beautiful reality. Thank God that he designed that to be in marriage. What an incredible blessing. So we need that. We stand in one Spirit, and you receive power when you do that. The second thing was you stand in a contending spirit, and it says, you know, that they were amazed, and they saw what they were saying, and seeing the man who had been healed standing with them, they had nothing to say in reply. Remember in verse 14. So here there's the guys. So Peter is preaching to the Sanhedrin, and this guy that's been healed is just kind of standing right next to him. It's like the total proof is standing right here, right? Oh, I love this. And so then the council, they had to confer with each other. So then they break up, and then they're conferring. Well, I don't know. We don't know what to do with this, you know. And we just can't have them keep preaching in this name. So they summoned them back together in verse 18. And they commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. How does this go? So Peter and John answered. Isn't this good? Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it is right in the sight of God to give heed to you rather than to God, you be the judge. But for we cannot stop speaking about what we have seen and heard.
That's right.
Okay. Yeah, you think that, but we will not speak. We will not stop speaking. This was the denier. This was the same one, right? We will not stop speaking. We will not stop speaking about this Christ. And when they threatened them further, they decided to let them go. They didn't know what else to do, finding no basis on which to punish them on account of the people, because they were all glorifying God for what had happened. That there was a greater reality that the Sanhedrin was even confronted with, and we realize we have lesser power. So this unfrightened two men that were standing before them was a sign to them of a kingdom that will end.
That's
what I see. That's what Peter and John were doing. They were demonstrating, this is what Paul is saying, that it is a sign of perdition to your enemies. It's a sign of their destruction, of a lesser kingdom, when you stand in faith by the Spirit. Oh, God, let us stand in that place. Let us have that pursuing, that contending spirit. And that's the second thing. Stand in a contending spirit. They were standing together in this contending place. That both of them together is saying, we won't bow. We're not going to stop. We're going to keep going. We're going to contend. What does it say in Ephesians 6? It says, who wrestles? It says, we wrestle. You know, this is a great reality. Let us all remember this. It's not just me wrestling. It's we wrestle. And in fact, we wrestle together by the Spirit. We are wrestling forces of evil, and that we push back these forces of evil together. And that is a key, and that's a key of staying outside of fear and not letting fear overcome us, because I bring someone with me and I can stand stronger.
Yes.
Can't we?
Yes.
Really, that's the truth. And in fact, there's another picture that I had, and I don't think they're actually here this morning. Dennis Jennings fell out of an attic and landed on his head. It was just a critical wound. And it was a couple years ago. And to next to death. And he was in the hospital, and Pastor Carrie and I went up there, and Patty's up there, and the doctors are trying to decide what to do. They didn't know, because he was bleeding so bad and his head was swelling that it just becomes dangerous. But they're not sure whether to open up the skull or to not open up the skull, and you know, there's a whole bunch of things that they're trying to decide. When we get up there, and this picture is emblazoned in my spirit, we get in that room, Pastor Carey comes over to Dennis. Dennis grabs Pastor Carey's hand, puts it right on his head. I was like, you know it, Dennis.
Yeah.
He was all about it. He was like, all right, come on. We're contended together for this thing. Anyway, God, there was a lot of things that God had to work through, but it was a miracle of restoration that God did in Dennis's life. It was amazing what happened. And I just wanted to shout out to Patty on how she stood and contended. She would not, you know, I would go up there and I'd be talking to her and she'd say, yeah, the doctor came in this morning and he said, da, 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 da. I'm not having it. She's like, I'm just not even going to repeat those things. I'm just not going there. I was like, I'm with you, Patty. And we need that. We need someone contending with us. Whoever, I mean, if it's your spouse or not, you need someone who is contending with you. And I'm so thankful for their example of being that. And we need to be that for our spouses. We need to be that for our kids. Our kids need to learn that.
Yes.
It's not just on your own all the time. Now, we want our kids to grow up and be responsible, but we do this together. I love it when my kids pray for me. They know I need help.
Yes.
They can. I'm going to have this army of contenders with me.
Yeah,
okay.
That's good.
The third thing is we stand in agreement. And this is huge. And I love this part. So they threaten them, they leave, they don't know what to do with them, right? It says in verse 23, when they had been released, they went to their own companions and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said to them. And when they had heard this, they lifted their voices to God with one accord. The word for accord is kind of the, I know some say, soul, but it's more than this. It's like a desire. It's intention. It's what you're really wanting in your heart of hearts, that you're all together in what you want to see. So that they had this same spirit of God, and that they were all in one voice. They lifted up with one voice, with one accord, and said, "Oh Lord, it is you who made heaven and earth, and the sea and all that's in it, who by the Holy Spirit, through the mouth of your father David, servant, said, why do the Gentiles rage and the people devise futile things?" And so they're just saying that this is what's happening. Down in verse 29, "And now, Lord, take note of their threats and grant that your bondservants may speak your word with all confidence." Take note of their threats. See what they're saying. We'll not stop speaking in your name. Take note of this, while you extend your hand to heal, and signs and wonders take place through the name of your holy servant Jesus. Whew! That's a good prayer right there. Extend your hand, oh God. Through who? Through the church. Through the church, moving by the Spirit of God. And when they had prayed, the place where they had gathered was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word of God with boldness. Woo! So we see Peter and his comeback. What happens as a result of all of this? It's the church began to rise up and stand, take position and place where they needed to be. I love that. That's what God's intention for us is, to come into everything that he wants us to come into, to contend together, but do it together and stand in it and be bold in it. And I love that the use of accord, right, in one accord, that's used a lot of the church. They were all in one accord. They had the same heart. But it says in chapter 5 that they were all in one accord and that they were... where is it? Well, it says in chapter 5, in verse 42, and every day in the temple and from house to house, they kept right on teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. And in fact, so now I'm missing it. Okay, there it is. So in 5:12, it says, at the hand of the apostles, many signs and wonders were taking place among the people, and they were all with one accord, where? Solomon's porch. Solomon's porch, yeah. Right outside the temple. So where did they set up camp after they were saying, stop preaching in this name, we're going to threaten you, you cannot do this? They set up camp right where they told them not to do it. And they were all in one accord right here at Solomon's temple. Now talk about a comeback. See, that's where I see this is such a great comeback, right? Where Peter was afraid and then he denies Jesus and he sloughs away and he's weeping bitterly away, right? Whoo! God turns it all around. And now Peter is declaring the greatness of God in that same place that he would deny him. God, you are so good. There's another picture that I have emblazoned in my mind. Pastor Diane is so awesome, and I'm so thankful for her. And one of the things about being in one accord, she just helps me to see a better picture of one accord, what it means.
Yes.
And what it means in prayer, in intercession. First thing, you know, I'm thankful for people, and I have been a part of praying, and thank you all for praying for almost 50 years to seeing some of the worst legislation on the planet that had been passed overturned.
Yes.
Thank God.
Yes.
But where that was the law of the land, it is no longer the law of the land.
Right.
It never should have been, but we thank God that it has been overturned.
Amen.
Because people have contended for it to be overturned.
Right.
It wasn't going to be overturned if somebody didn't contend it. Didn't push back on it. So I'm so thankful that we have had people by the Spirit praying and calling on the name of God to overturn such horrible legislation.
Yes.
And I'm thankful that we have intercessors that continue to pray against such things.
Amen.
That contend.
That's good.
Pastor Diane is a contender.
Yes.
Wouldn't you? I agree. I mean, maybe you don't know Pastor Diane. She is a contender.
She is
a fighter. She is a warrior. She has had her own personal attacks.
Yeah.
She's had to war through a lot of things. And she's still contending.
That's it. Amen.
And I'm thankful for her example.
Amen.
Okay, another night of ministry. I have this emblazoned on my mind. We're prophesying and doing things. Spirit of the Lord is on Diane. Fire's in my hands. I need to pray healing on everybody. So Pastor Diane is over here, and she's praying healing over anybody who will.
Yes.
Everyone, anyone who needs healing, I want you to come. I want to pray for you.
Amen.
That's a sign to your enemy of destruction.
Yes,
there you go.
That is a sign.
Yes.
Pastor Diane, you are a sign to the enemy that his days are numbered.
That's right. Woo!
And your sign is not just, you know, fearful to the enemy, and it is fearful. In fact, really, isn't that what we see in the Sanhedrin? Ooh, we have to confer. Oh, we don't know what to do. Uh-huh. Oh, well, yeah, just go. Uh-huh. Don't do this anymore. Please leave. Right?
Yes.
They were afraid. It puts your enemy on his back heels when you stand up in faith.
Yes.
But I'm so thankful that we have these people to give us that kind of example and faith. But also, it fills me with the Spirit,
yes.
Right? It encourages me in the Spirit. And that's what God is asking us to walk in and to stand with together by the Spirit. And so, Lord God, thank you for what you're doing today. And I want to do this one thing. I know I did a lot of things already. We've done a lot, not just one thing. So this is in my spirit. This is what the Spirit is saying to me. For those that would like to just demonstrate it this morning, if this is something that you want to demonstrate, I want you to stand up. Maybe I just have everybody. Let's have everybody stand up. That's just the first step. I'm not asking you to do anything other than that. You're free to not do or do whatever you want. Except if the Spirit tells you to do otherwise, and then you have to do what he says. I want you to ask the Holy Spirit right now. And if you're not familiar, if you're not comfortable even with that, just allow God, just say, okay, God, if you want me to do this, then you're going to prompt me to it. You're going to give me the steps to take or what you want me to do. I want us to demonstrate being standing side by side contending, okay? If there is somebody in this room that you feel like, I want to be a part of contending with them. I know what they're going through, and I want to contend with them. I don't mean contend. I don't want to fight with them. You know, you wrestle in the company with, against an opponent. If there is someone like that here, then I want you to go over to them and I want you to link arms. Okay? It doesn't have to be your spouse. It can be your spouse if you want, and that's great. But if there's someone that you want, I feel like I want to contend with that person. And this is not a forcing necessarily thing. This is just something that I'm just asking. And if you don't have someone, just right away, and thank you. Thank you. I see more than two people. So if there's three people, even if there's four, that's fine. You can do that. You can link arm with more than one. Wow. So I wanted to link arm with somebody, and he already got linked. But I was gonna link with Frank. Frank, I really felt the Spirit just saying that I needed to link arms with you. So I am linking arms with you in spirit. This is God's intention, that we not war on our own, that we partner together, we walk side by side in the Spirit. So Lord Jesus, today I thank you. I thank you that you do not leave us or forsake us, Lord, that you give us what we need. You've given us your Spirit, that you've given us just that contending Spirit for us to walk in by faith. And Lord, I thank you. Thank you that you have ways to make us stand where we don't think that we could ever stand. Where Peter was denying you one day, and the next day he was standing before the courts to testify that he would not obey what they were saying, that he would not back down. Lord God, I thank you that when we come into agreement with your Spirit and with the Spirit that you have placed inside of the body of Christ, and we link ourselves together with spirit and body, Lord, that we are linking ourselves with your plan for us to stand against the enemy and to see and to demonstrate as a sign that the enemy is defeated, that the enemy's days are numbered, that we will not capitulate to his kingdom, but he must capitulate to ours, that he will bow the knee to the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you for the battles that will be won, even because today we have linked arms. Lord, we thank you for the battle. We thank you for winning the battle in the Spirit. Lord, and I thank you that you have given us of your Spirit that we might have everything that we need to walk in triumph. Thanks be to God who always causes us to triumph in Christ Jesus. Lord, I thank you for that reality today. I thank you for the triumph, O God. Lord Jesus, Lord, we give you praise and glory. We thank you for what you're doing in this place. Lord, we pray, and I pray over each one of us. I pray that our eyes would see clearly where we need to come alongside of others and contend with them and to stand with them. When you've done all else to stand, stand. Well, in order to stand, I need somebody else to stand by my side. And so, God, let us be the encouragement, the blessings that you've called us to be in these days. So, God, thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the comeback spirit that you've placed within us. I have given it to you for your strengthening. I have given it as a weapon of righteousness. Lord Jesus, we thank you for that today. We are not powerless. In fact, we are absolutely opposite. Lord, we thank you that the intimidation of the enemy just bows at the name of Jesus. Lord God, we thank you that there is no other name above all names than the name of Jesus. And we thank you that that name is the intimate name that we carry upon in and from ourselves to see your kingdom come. Lord, we glorify your name in this place. We thank you, God, for what you're doing. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I'm going to ask ministry team to come forward. If you want prayer for anything, if you have never experienced a baptism in the Holy Spirit, we would love to pray with you. Just come on up. We'd love to pray. Anything else? Healing, wisdom. If you need rescue, you need Jesus to rescue you. We want to pray with you. So I ask ministry team to come forward. If you need prayer, we would love to pray with you. You are dismissed. Amen and amen. Blessings be upon you.